There's a curious line in that song, Breath of Heaven, as Mary's singing and praying. The writer of that song is portraying something that was in Mary's heart as Breath of Heaven, lighten my darkness, which seems so strange. As was noted earlier, the story of Christmas begins with Mary, but we actually have to back up even a little further. One of the things that we like to do is we like to rush forward to the bright lights and the angels breaking into the night and revealing, announcing the arrival of the promised Messiah to the shepherds. But that wasn't the tenor of the day. As a matter of fact, to appreciate the significance of that event, we have to back up. We have to back way up, actually, even before Mary, to the context. The Hebrew people had been waiting in anticipation for a long time. If you're new to the Bible, there was a promise that was given to Abraham 2,000 years before that was for the Hebrew people. And this promise was that Abraham would have a family. And even though he was old in age and didn't have any children, he would have a family and they would turn into a great nation. And that God would bless the whole world through that nation. 600 years before the time of Christ, there was more specific detail given through the prophet Isaiah as he announced some of the specifics of how God would deliver this Messiah to the world. But most recently, there had been 400 years of silence. No more details, no miracles, no activity of God that we know of, or at least none that was notable. And on literally the eve of the first Christmas, many of God's people had given up hope. They had given up hope that there was something for them. Their hopes maybe at one time were high, but they were running low at this point. Years ago when our boys were little, or I'll let you guess which one, for those of you who've been around for a while, it's usually the same one all the time. We had one of our boys after the Christmas tree went up and there began to be some presents under the tree. It was too young to understand days and calendars and how long. And so every day, every morning, as a matter of fact, really early in the morning, he'd come into our room and be like, "Is this Christmas?" Like really early, like too early. I mean, his hopes were riding high for Christmas. And it was cute for the first couple of days. By the second week, as I heard him coming down the hall towards our room, he woke me up. I could hear the footsteps coming in, and I could hardly contain myself. Before he could get a word out, I yelled, "This is not Christmas." He's like, "Ugh, it's never going to be Christmas." And some of you may be feeling that way. You've had high hopes. You've been anticipating Christmas. Maybe it has nothing to do with the festivities of the season. Maybe it has to do with being with family. Maybe it has to do with something that's happened that just reflecting in this season is something that you're looking forward to. But for others of you, your hope is waning. And here's what I want you to miss. Like if you're in a space where your hope is waning, or maybe you've given up on something that you've been hoping for a while, I'm so glad you're here because this story is for you. The story of Christmas is for people who've been waiting and they've been watching, they've been anticipating, they've been wondering, and some that have given up hope. But in the story of Christmas, the backstory of Mary's story, there were at least two, maybe you've never heard of, that hadn't given up hope. Their names were Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah and Elizabeth were related to Mary. They were believed to be cousins of Mary. And their hopes remained high in God's promise of the coming Messiah. They were a part of the priestly line, but that's not all what they were hoping in. They too were old in age, like Abraham and Sarah before them, and they were hoping for a family of their own. They were hoping God would deliver a child to them. And it's interesting because even though their hopes remained high for a child for them, they were advanced in years and didn't seem possible. In fact, they were told they wouldn't have any children. But an angel, similar to the story of Mary, but before Mary's story, an angel appeared to Zechariah when he was in the temple and told him that they were going to have a son. And Zechariah, in disbelief, even his hopes, maybe as he'd been wondering, maybe even his hopes had been waning. He was in disbelief, and because of that, he became mute, and he couldn't tell what the angel had told him. And Elizabeth does, in fact, become pregnant. And to much of everyone's surprise, Elizabeth, who was told that she wouldn't have any children, she became pregnant. And she told everyone that it was God's favor as to why she became pregnant. And that's where we pick up the Christmas story. In the backstory, the Christmas story for most of us starts in Luke chapter 2, but at the end of Luke chapter 1, it says this. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Now, I promise you, this isn't how Mary saw her life going. Of all the times in life to be hopeful, getting married is one of those. It's got to be near the top of the list. I remember even when we were anticipating our wedding, but this had to put a damper on Mary's hopes. Now, the reason I say that is because by definition, hope is a feeling of expectancy for a desired outcome. Hope is something that causes a feeling inside of us about something that we hope for, a thing that we would like to see happen. We become expectant for a specific outcome, a desired outcome. And the feeling of hope is thrilling. You know this. You remember a new relationship when you first started dating and you thought maybe he was the one or she was the one. It's the promise of a promotion that you've been working hard to get, and now it looks like you might finally get the promotion. It's expecting your first child, at least in normal circumstances, not unlike Mary's. Oftentimes, there's just this great expectancy. But on the flip side, a lack of hope is depleting. And some of you have experienced this as well. When you realize the relationship can't be salvaged, that you're still not expecting, or you've received yet another treatment for a diagnosis that wasn't what you hoped it would be. Now, this isn't how Mary saw her life going, and we know this, because her question was, how? Which is the question. It's the question when hope is waning. Think about this. We think, how did this happen? How did I get here? How can this be? How could God allow this? How will I ever get through this? And that question of how took center stage at the very first Christmas. Mary's specific question was, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." As if that would end all of her how questions, right? I mean, it's like, okay, wait. So the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow me. That explains everything. How exactly will I become pregnant? Like, I understand this. I'm old enough to get it. How will I explain this? How will anyone believe me? How will my fiance Joseph respond? On top of that, how am I supposed to raise the Son of God? There were many how questions that probably plagued her at this point. I mean, raising the Son of God was the least of which that she just knew that this would not be the easiest of assignments. And here's the thing. This is important because when we can't see how, we struggle with hope. Think about it. When we can't see how, we struggle with hope. We struggle to see how we'll get through a difficult season, or when we struggle to see how we're going to get out from underneath the debt, or how we can rebuild trust, or how we'll reconcile a relationship, or untangle the massive mess we've made, or escape the consequences of something we know we behaved our way into, or overcome a significant obstacle in life. When we can't see how, we often lose hope. And hope doesn't just wane, sometimes it dissipates altogether. But look at the angel's response. I love the angel's response because even though it's sort of this heavenly being, it's so human in the response to Mary. The angel responds and says, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, who is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month." Now, don't miss this. It's as if the angel on God's behalf is saying to Mary, "Look, I know you don't understand how, but Mary, you're not the first one. Zechariah and Elizabeth before you, they didn't know how. You know their story. You know the story of your the patriarch, your ancestors, Abraham and Sarah, who didn't know how they were going to have a child, how this whole nation would begin, how the people of God would even come to be. It's important. Many before you, if you're here today and you're facing this question, how in this season, many people before you have walked a similar path to you, and they made it through. They overcame. They rebuilt. They reconciled. And they didn't know how either. They didn't know how things were going to work out. And while this response is helpful and hopeful to know that somebody else has been through it, and oftentimes it gives us the courage or encourages us to keep going, what the angel says next is the key to hope. It's the key to sustaining hope in a season when we're wondering how. The angel says, "For no word from God will ever fail." The angel had made a promise on behalf of God to Mary. And his answer was, "I know you don't know how, but God always comes through on what he's promised." God's answer to Mary's how question was an invitation. And the invitation was, "Will you trust me? Will you trust me?" In the year 2015, my wife and I were spending our first Christmas a long way away from home. We had moved out to Arizona, believing God had asked us in a step of obedience to move our family across the country. We lived in a neighborhood with my brother and my sister, and our kids got on the bus together to go to school, and we moved a long way from home, and we were out in Arizona, and we'd been there almost a year, and we had a new baby. No family around us. My wife, after giving birth to our fourth child, she began to develop some scary symptoms, and they began to degenerate so much that one evening, we were really in despair, and I decided to take her to the emergency room. So we went to the emergency room, and they didn't really know what was going on. In fact, it wasn't helpful at all. We got the emergency room, and they sort of looked at her. She was dealing with, among other things, bilateral palsy, which was like, we were told, like, 1 in 5 million in cases. And so, you know, it's like not helpful when a nurse goes to get somebody else and says, "Hey, come see this. You got to see this. I've never seen this before." That's not what you want to hear when you're sitting in the ER. Anybody with me? So we're sitting there, and it's sort of getting more and more discouraging. And we leave that night with, "They're not sure, but we're going to prescribe you something." We're like, "Should we even take this?" And so we go and fill the prescription, and we start to pray, and we start to ask other people. We go to a doctor's appointment, somebody they referred us to. And we were new in town. We didn't know who to go to. And we went to multiple doctors, went to multiple appointments. We went through multiple tests, and there were no answers. We prayed, and we asked others to pray. And the doctors that we talked to, they didn't know how to help her. They didn't know what to do. And we started looking up potential treatments, and we started trying everything. And here's the hardest part is this was in the Christmas season. We had just had a baby. This was mid-November, and we're ramping up for Christmas. I'm about to kick off a Christmas series at our church. And I got to tell you, my job was to bring and share the hope of Christmas, and I wasn't feeling it. Imagine being the person who's got to stand up in front and be the cheerleader for, "Here's why we should have hope." And you're the one whose hope is waning. And it was because of this question, how? I was constantly wondering how we'd get through this. How much worse things would get before they got better. How and if they would get better. How long until somebody could give us some answers for what exactly was going on in her body and what was the recovery going to be like? I began to ask myself, how could God allow this? After all we've done, all we do, the obedience we've shown, we were feeling a lot of things that Christmas. Highly favored was not one of them. Like Mary, at the center of our Christmas was the question, how? And some of you can relate to this. You've been there before. Some of you are there now. Some of you are walking with somebody who is there, who's in the midst of a professional or financial or marital or medical struggle. And you've been praying and you've been seeking and you've been asking and you've been listening and you can't see how. You know what we discovered in that season? You know what we discovered God wanted from us that Christmas in 2015? It's the same thing he asked of Mary. He asked us to trust him. And that's the same invitation he offers to all of us this Christmas. No matter how big or small the thing is, you're wondering how is how things will go in 2025, or how things will be different next year than this year, or how you're going to get through this struggle you're in the middle of. His invitation is for you to trust him. It's the invitation he's given you this Christmas. And here's the reality. Your hope for hinges on what you hope in. Here's what I mean by that. Is you hope for a certain thing, but it's not that thing that you're hoping in. You hope in something for what you hope for. If you were going to get on a flight later this afternoon and you were going to fly somewhere, you would be hoping for a safe flight. We all would be hoping for that. In fact, if you are, I'm hoping that for you today. But your hope is not in a safe flight. Your hope is in competent pilots. Your hope is in mechanics. Your hope is in planes to work the way they're supposed to, air traffic controllers to be confident in their jobs. That's what your hope is in for what you're hoping for. So if you're asking the question how for yourself or for somebody around you, here's my question. What are you hoping in for what you're hoping for? Better yet, who are you hoping in for what you're hoping for? Are you hoping in you? Are you hoping in somebody else to deliver that thing that you're hoping for? You are hoping in something. In that season, for me, all we knew to do was to cling to the promises that God had made, and he's made us so many. There were two specific promises that came to our minds and in our hearts that we cling to in that season. It was that God promised he would be with us. He promised he would never leave us, that he would be with us in the midst of our struggle. He promised that we would have struggles in this life, but he promised never to leave us, to be with us. And that he also promised that if we would come boldly and ask him, that he would provide the sufficient amounts of grace and mercy in our time of need. And so our prayers changed. They change from how to, God, help us to sense your nearness. Help us to know you're in control and that you're near. And God, give us the grace and mercy to navigate this difficult struggle in this season of life. And here's what we discovered. As we changed the nature of our prayers and we began to pray prayers of faith, trusting that God would come through, just as he did the first Christmas, he would come through on what he's promised. We discovered that faith can restore our hope even when we can't see how. Faith in one who's greater, faith in one who can and has delivered, can restore hope, even when you can't see how. So my question is, what is God asking you to trust him with this Christmas season? Is it a relationship? Is it your profession? Is it your financial situation? Is it a health situation? What is it that in this season seems overwhelming? It seems out of your control. It seems like something difficult and you're not sure how you're going to get through it or how you'll get past it or how you'll get over it. After weeks of appointments and tests, lots of therapy, we tried all sorts of things. My wife actually began to recover and we actually didn't know why and the doctors couldn't tell us why. It wasn't until weeks after she had almost fully recovered that we saw a doctor that finally figured out what had gone wrong and what had happened with her. And when they finally gave us a diagnosis, here's what we discovered. We discovered God was with us that very first night in the emergency room, and we didn't even know it. It was when we weren't looking up to him, we were looking to doctors, we were looking to medical help, we were looking to competent people in hospitals that we should have. And the truth was, is that night, we were misdiagnosed, but the misdiagnosis gave us the exact treatment she needed to recover. And we didn't know that until long after she began to recover. Now, here's the thing. Some of you have been hoping for something. And if you're honest, like us and others around you, your hope has begun to wane because you can't see how. And I don't know how your story will end. I don't know how or if things will work out. I don't know if you'll get what you're hoping for. And I don't know how long you'll be in the season that you're in or how long you'll have to walk with somebody who's in a season like that. But here's what I know. I know God can be trusted. I know he will be with you, that he's able to deliver you, that he's able to supply the strength for you to get through. Here's why the story of Christmas proves it. It does. That's the story of Christmas. At just the right time, God came through. So I want to read you the traditional Christmas story because it tells us about how God came through. And this is how Luke records it in Luke chapter 2. It says this: in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger." It would be a sign to them, a sign that this God, that our God, always comes through on what he's promised. This was the fulfillment of God's promise to his people. It would be a sign not just to them, but to you and to me, to the whole world, that our God is faithful. He's faithful to come through on what he's promised. It would be a reminder that he would be with us, that he came for us, and that he will provide for us. That's the story. That's the message of Christmas. It's a reminder that we can have hope even when we can't see how. We're going to sing maybe one of the greatest Christmas songs of all time in just a minute. And there's a line in the song that is so powerful. It's my favorite line of any Christmas song. The song's "O Holy Night." And it says, "Long lay the world in sin and error pining." That word "pining" means in anguish, struggling. That's how things had been for a long time in the world, until he appeared. And the next line is breathtaking. "And the soul felt its worth." The reason the soul felt its worth, and that there was a thrill of hope, and the weary world began to rejoice, is because it said something. It made a statement to you and to me. And the statement is that you are worth it. God sees you. He cares about you. And maybe not exactly always in the way you're hoping, he promises to come through for you. In that town of Bethlehem, a Savior was born to you and to me. Let me pray for you. God, I pray for somebody who's here today whose hope is waning. They've been wrestling. They've been struggling. They've been wondering. The question "how" has been looming. How could this be? How could you let this be? God, how will I ever get through this, or how will I ever get over this? And if that's you today, whether you're watching online or whether you're sitting here in the room with us, I just want to invite you to do something today. Sometimes the outward posture of our bodies helps us on the inside. And if that's you today, nobody else is paying attention, would you just open your hands, maybe on your lap, in a posture of receiving, in a posture of surrender, to say, "God, okay, God, this thing, I just want you to imagine it sitting there in your hands, your question of how, the thing you're wondering about. I just want you to imagine you're holding it. And I want you to say to your Heavenly Father, I don't know how, but I trust you." God, I pray for somebody who's here today, or somebody who's watching and their hands are open. They don't know how. Their hope is waning. Would you see their faith? Would they sense your nearness in this moment and it not be my voice, it not be the music behind me? It be a real sense of my God sees me, he knows me, he cares for me, and he will come through for me. God, I pray you'd quicken their heart to faith today and you'd restore hope even though they can't see how. We trust it to you and we pray it in Jesus' name.